Welcome to the High Life Podcast. I'm Meredith Wadsworth, and I'm here to help you on your journey towards honoring yourself every day. This is a journey of self-healing and self-discovery. Becoming aware of our subconscious root story, owning who we are, and shifting perspective, we begin to awaken to our higher selves, and with that, live a more intuitive, intentional, and fulfilling life. Hello, everyone. I am currently on a walk and felt like recording a podcast. And I think this is kind of my new thing. I believe I recorded the last one while on a walk as well. And I did this once several episodes back. It was probably within my first 10 episodes or so. But sometimes I find that I have my best thoughts while I'm on a walk. And it's also my thinking time, my reflecting time. And so that's really what this podcast is. It's a way for me to express my thoughts, sometimes as they're happening. And sometimes I have them pre-thought and wanting to share what I've come up with. And other times I'm just sort of doing it on the fly. And this is one of those cases. But I recently got back from my travels in Europe. And I was in Portugal for a week visiting the Cocoon Retreat Center, which is in the Algarve coast of Portugal, about 2-hour drive south of Lisbon. And it is a stunning place. I've been there 2 times before, and every time it's been about this time of year, late summer, and it is gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous over there. The best time to be there, I think. I've actually never been there a different time of year, but confidently I think I can say it's the best time to be there. It's the kind of day where you experience, you know, 60 degree Fahrenheit chill in the morning, 50 to 60 degrees in the morning, and you have nice sweaters and there's morning dew on the grass. And then as early morning progresses into mid morning, into the afternoon, it really warms up and gets to the point where you can be out in a bathing suit and go to the beach, and the coastline there is just unmatched. The cliffs and everything, it's unbelievable. And then it dips back down to light layers in the evening, and that's just my favorite. It's like spring, summer, and fall all in one day, and I love that. But Cocoon, really, aside from just being a magical place geographically, it holds a special place in my heart, because it has held me at 3 very pivotal points in my personal growth journey and my self-healing journey. And I don't find it a coincidence that I've been there for the last 3 years, almost to the year. When I was first there, I was going for my first yoga retreat that I was attending. And that was a real experience for me. I had never been on something like that, and to have it be in such a magical place amongst people who I really looked up to in the yoga world, and to be surrounded by a community of people who found yoga to be as life-changing as I did, at a time when I was also going through a big identity shift myself, both, you know, in how I related to health, physically, mentally, all of those things. And if you are unfamiliar with most of my story, you can go back to the first season of this podcast and you'll get an idea of how my approach to health and well-being and all of that was a good bit different from my approach to it now, I think. So at that time, you know, I was still dealing with a lot of self-image issues, body image issues, but I was learning that I wanted to detach from that, and that I wanted to really make intentional shifts, and I was making progress towards my hormonal healing and just my whole, you know, it felt like the earth beneath my feet was kind of being pulled out from under me, and having my yoga practice was really grounding for me, and having that yoga experience was felt just like a cocoon. It felt like just what I needed and the encouragement to keep going, and knowing that I could connect with these people who knew nothing about me prior to me being there, and that to them, you know, none of who I used to be, none of the image of the person I was leaving behind mattered. And that felt so liberating. And fast forward a year later, I was there not for a retreat, but just passing through for a couple days. And at the time I was in a relationship with someone and we were there together. And that was a really hard time for me. We were at a challenging point in our relationship where we were trying to figure out whether to continue to be together or to not. And while I have both fond memories of that time, I also have a lot of really hard, difficult memories. And there's a jet ski going by in the Charles River right now, so that's what that is, if you can hear that. So at that time, you know, now, I guess before going back this year, I had a bit of fear that I would go back and be a bit triggered. And I was afraid that I was intending to go there this time around to teach, co-teach on a retreat this time, and be amongst friends, old friends, new friends, even a client of mine who I'd never met in person was going to be there, and these really happy celebratory things. And I was worried that I was going to get there and feel triggered by the past and not be able to be fully present in what was happening now. These jet skis are really just performing for everybody. Sorry about that, guys. Yes, I was afraid that was going to be the case. I was afraid that, you know, and that fear was, for a little while, making me question whether I wanted to go. This opportunity came up for me to co-teach alongside my teacher, my mentor, the person who taught me yoga, Anton Brandt, and he is the founder of the Sacred Fig, the owner of Cocoon, and an incredible yoga teacher. I cannot recommend him enough. Him or anybody in the Sacred Fig community. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes as well to FigFlix, which is their online on-demand yoga subscription, and it's incredible. So I had this opportunity to go and to co-teach alongside him on this retreat, which was literally a dream come true. I never imagined that this opportunity would come to me at this point of my career, where I still feel very new as a yoga teacher. I feel, you know, immediately after the initial excitement and, oh my gosh, is this real? I immediately felt so much self-doubt. And I think, you know, I would probably feel that even if I was farther along in my teaching journey. I got my teacher training in February of 2020, and immediately COVID happened, and so I wasn't able to teach publicly in-person classes. And even though I've been doing yoga myself for over a decade, it felt like, you know, because I don't have all that much experience teaching in person, I only started teaching in person again in July at a studio here in Boston. I felt like I was, you know, an imposter. You know, the imposter syndrome was real. And that's part of what inspired the last podcast I talked about, actually. It was a bit of a pep talk, and mostly for me. And I wanted to share exactly with you guys what I was experiencing in my own mind and the kind of pep talk I was giving myself to see sort of how I can coach myself through these things and how you can too. And so I was going through this imposter syndrome that I'm not good enough to teach. Who am I to lead a group of people through yoga when they're here to experience yoga from someone like Anton, and, you know, all of the things. And on top of that, I had this fear of, oh my gosh, it's going to be at Cocoon, the place where I was with my ex. And those things combined made me feel like maybe I shouldn't do this. And if I'd listened to that fear, if I had succumbed to that fear, I was going to really deprive myself of the opportunity to prove to myself that I could do it. And I was going to let something in the past control my future. And I didn't want that to be the case. I didn't want something in the past to decide for me how I was going to move forward and how I was going to grow. And so despite all that inner talk, I decided to push forward because I am someone who does scary things. I am someone who is brave, not perfect. And I am someone who puts herself out there, even though she's scared. Because you can do that. You can be scared and you can put yourself out there. And that is what being brave is. It's not brave to put yourself out there if you're not scared. And so going there this time around and teaching, which I was terrified to do, you know, felt physically sick before, it was one of the most rewarding experiences I've had. And do I think that I taught perfectly? No. Do I feel like there's a lot of room for improvement? Absolutely. But nonetheless, I'm incredibly proud of how I showed up. And I actually really surprised myself that I didn't feel triggered being there at all. And I think that's a testament to the amount of work that I've done on myself in the past year and just how far I've come. And, you know, I think, again, if I had deprived myself of that opportunity to go back to this place that held so much weight in my mind, that I wasn't going to give myself this gift of seeing this is how far you've come and you've done this for yourself. And I'm so glad that I could do that, amongst all the other reasons I was so glad to be there. And, you know, I don't share this as, you know, a boastful thing of look what I've done, look what I've achieved. I share this as a means that I share this to hopefully show you guys that, you know, I feel imposter syndrome too. I feel scared shitless too. I feel like I'm not good enough to do things too. And yet you can put yourself out there. You can keep pushing forward, and that the universe only ever gives you opportunities that it knows that you can handle. It knows more than you. It knows even if you don't know that you can handle it. And it also will always put you in the right place at the right time. I had this idea in my mind, you know, before the opportunity came up, I was like, you know, I really want to go back to Europe, but I'm afraid that going back to Europe is going to trigger me because of memories I had there with my ex. And despite knowing I really didn't want to be this person who, you know, gave someone else so much control over how I felt, you know, I couldn't ignore the fact that that was my reality at the moment. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just not how I wanted things to be, but I had to embrace that was the truth. And so I felt in my mind like, you know, I really should give it some more time. I shouldn't go back to Europe yet. And if and when I do go back, not if, when I do go back, maybe I should go to a place that I've never been before where I don't have any memories of being there with this person. And instead, the universe was like, nope, you're going to go exactly to where you were last there with this person a year to the date. And you're going to face just how far you've come. You're going to face your own growth because you can. And I am so grateful. I'm so grateful. And so after the retreat, I met up with my best friend in Lisbon for a night. And we all went out together, my best friend and I and the other people that were on the retreat. And it was such an amazing time to just look all around me and see how I had built this community around me all on my own and put myself, that where I was, those circumstances was a result of the ways that I had grown and that I had intentionally created this reality for myself. And then my friend and I went over to France for a week, which was amazing. And she had never been to France before, so it was real fun for me to introduce such a special place in my heart to her. And it was a really, really awesome time. And I'm back here, and I'm so grateful to be home. which is also such a big shift for me and a big change, because the last two times that I was in Europe, I had gone indefinitely, not knowing how long I'd be there. But both times I was there for a minimum of 2 months. And both times when I came back to the US, it was not because I necessarily wanted to, but because I had to. And so, and when I came back, it wasn't to a place of my own. It was to, you know, my parents' place or something, you know, a place that wasn't mine and where I didn't have my own sense of community established. And so it never really felt like I was coming back. It always just kind of felt like I was going on to another temporary place. And while that was fun initially, you know, when I was doing my travels all over Europe and sort of being nomadic intentionally, that was all well and good. That was what I wanted, what I craved at the time. And where I'm at now in life, I realized, you know, just how special and grateful I am to have a place of my own and to have roots somewhere and to be grounded somewhere and to have a physical community around me beyond the global community that I've been able to create for myself through what I do. And I'm so grateful for both. But this time around, you know, even though I was only gone for 2 weeks, I felt so ready to come back. So ready and so excited. And at the same time, so grateful and feeling just so complete for the 2 weeks that had come to pass abroad. And so I got back this weekend and, you know, I forget who I was talking to, but someone had asked me a question about, you know, when do I feel like I've been at my best in my life so far? And without question, I said right now. Right now. And I almost kind of took myself back for a second to just be like, wow, you know, that's my real, genuine, honest response. And if you'd asked me that question 3 months ago, 4 months ago, I would have said, absolutely not now. That my best life was probably, you know, back when I was leaving New York and going off to Europe and gallivanting. And my best life was when I was in Bali and doing my teacher training and living free and, you know, not knowing what's happening next and all that. And so for me to have that really gut immediate response that right here, right now, I'm living my best life, I shocked myself in the best way. And again, you know, sometimes I hear this and I think like, oh, you know, don't brag kind of thing. But again, I think that's just like sort of my internal self-talk, my self-image being like, if you share the good things that you're experiencing in life, then that's going to make others feel worse if they're not experiencing good things right now. And that's my ego, my inner shadow saying that I'm not allowed to share the good things in my life. But the good things in my life don't dim things in other people's life. The good things that I'm experiencing in my life, the good things that you're experiencing in your life, you sharing those, you spreading your light only ignites others around you. It does not diminish what other people are experiencing. And so I say all this in part to encourage you to share the good things in your life and not feel guilty about it, not feel like you're not allowed to do that. You being miserable doesn't make anyone else less miserable. So you withholding your joy, you not sharing the things that you're proud of, you not sharing the things that make you feel good, is not helping anyone else feel better about their situation. If anything, you sharing the things that you're going through, despite the things that have been really challenging for you, you sharing both is going to provide hope for other people. It's going to make other people feel inspired. It's going to help other people to see themselves in you and to know that there is light on the other side. Because, you know, with my response to that question of when do you think has been your best? I think the question was when was your best year? And I said this year, especially because I just turned 28. Now I'm remembering the situation. It was on my birthday in Lisbon that night that we all went out after the retreat and before I went to France. We were celebrating and it was my 28th birthday. And I felt so loved and so grateful because on my 27th birthday, a year ago, I had spent it having just gotten back from Europe, having just effectively broken up with this person who I thought I was going to spend my birthday with in Europe. And instead, I spent it at home during COVID. I was with my family, and I'm so grateful for that, but it was just so, I was so sad. And now, a year later, to be back in Europe, to be celebrating it with so many people that I love, so surrounded, I was just feeling so great. And one of my friends asked me, what has been your best year so far? And I said, right here, right now. And at the same time, I said, 27 was both the best and one of the worst years of my life. And I don't think that was a coincidence. I think it's because it was also one of the worst years of my life that I can say it's now one of the best. And it was challenging for me because at the beginning of 27, you know, it started with me being really depressed. I was broken up with this person and devastated. And at the same time, I was going through a lot of, you know, physical changes with my hormonal recovery. And I was feeling just a total identity crisis. And it's funny, I actually have another podcast recorded that I've recorded months ago. And I've held off sharing it because I wasn't sure whether I wanted to share, you know, my experience with that relationship, because I don't really talk much about my personal, you know, romantic life or anything on the podcast. And so I didn't feel like I wanted to talk about it, but I also knew that I still felt a little bit triggered by it. And so I didn't want to share it because I knew that that wasn't going to be fully beneficial for me or fully beneficial for you guys listening. And I think now I'm going to release it. So stay tuned for that. Because I think there's some wise words in there, but, I was going through a really hard time and I had so much of my identity wrapped up in this relationship because it came at a point where I was so vulnerable and so susceptible to being swept away in someone else's narrative and someone else's story and just like fitting in like a puzzle piece because I was no longer the person I used to be. And I was kind of just stripped down. This was right after my yoga teacher training where you're in like the particularly, you know, thoughtful space, been sort of cracked wide open. And I was scared and I was really just wanting to cling to something and to someone to help me figure out who I was becoming. And so I had my identity, my future sort of wrapped up in this person. And when things ended with us, I felt completely lost. And the first half of that year of being 27 of this past year was so, so challenging for me. It was some of the darkest times that I've had in the past couple years. And for having gone through the breakup and for also reconciling with myself, my identity, my body, all of these things, whilst also having recently moved to Boston and not knowing if I was going to like it here, you know, moving in the dead of winter where there was no community and it sunset at like 4 p.m. and it was dark all the time and cold. And I was just so miserable. And to know that that was only, you know, 6 months ago, less, and that now I feel happier and more myself, more whole than I've ever felt before, is just incredible. And I can't help but smile at that idea. And to know that this much light and this much gratitude could only have come from that darkness I experienced. And so I hope that for anyone listening, if you're going through a tough time or if you're in a really, really good time, I hope that you acknowledge everything that you've gone through to get there. And if you're going through a hard time right now, I hope you know that things are going to improve for the better and that you're going through what you're going through because it's going to make you bigger, better, stronger, more resilient. And so much good things are coming. So many good things are coming. I hope that you were able to take away some value from this episode. Sorry for any noise interruptions, but I'm really enjoying doing these walking podcasts, so hopefully you do too. And I will talk to you guys on the next episode. Take care.
Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, I'm so grateful for every single one of you here doing this work alongside me. And if you resonate with what you've been hearing so far on the podcast and you're feeling called to lean into this work, this embodied self-study even more, I would love to work with you or even just discuss what is on your mind. This kind of work is challenging. It's really confronting and it can be uncomfortable, and having someone to support and guide you through it can change everything. And I know from my own personal experience, I would not be a coach if I had never been coached before in my life. And I know from my own experience how powerful and transformative coaching can be, and I would not be where I am without it. And it's because I believe in that so powerfully that I feel so strongly about what I do, and I love it so much. And I can see in my clients and in their progress and in the way that they show up in the world and in their own lives and witnessing that change that I know it's possible for you too. If you're curious what this kind of work would look like for you, since it is absolutely different for every single person, I really encourage you to reach out and we can book a free introductory call with no strings attached whatsoever. There's no pressure to continue. This is an opportunity for me to meet you and for you to meet me and discuss how this might look for you and anything else that you need, any other questions that you have. So you can check that out in the link in the bio or in the link in the show notes rather, as well as my bio link on Instagram, or just go ahead and DM me, send me an email, whatever tickles your fancy. All right, I will leave it at that. Wherever you are, be there fully, honor yourselves today and always, and I will talk to you on the next episode.